Welcome to Zambia Decides. And now, here is your host.
Good afternoon. On Zambia Decides today, we get to interact with the Zambia Police Service. As you might be aware, the Zambia Police Service is a critical stakeholder when it comes to elections, because it is the organization given by law to provide security before, during, and even after an election. Today, we get to ask this very simple question: how ready is the Zambia Police for the election? To help us answer that very important question, I am joined in by Madam Esther Mwatakatongo, who is the spokesperson at the Zambia Police Service. Madam, welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much, Chatewa, and good afternoon to the listener.
All right. My first question, Madam, is: are the current staffing levels sufficient to police the three major periods, that's before, during, and after the 2021 election?
Thank you very much. When you look at the staffing levels, we are not nearing attainment of the total numbers that we would want. But that is not going to defeat us. As ever, we have been policing elections, even with our current manpower, or the manpower at that particular time. We've had elections before, and during those elections we had shortfalls in the manpower levels. Even this time around, we may have a shortfalls, and maybe I should be definite to say that we have shortfalls. When you look at our strategic plan for the 2016-2019 strategic plan, our projection for police officers was 27,000. So by 2019, we're supposed to have about 27,000 police officers. But this is 2021, and we are at 20,000 plus, 20,800. So meaning that we are even far beyond the projection for 2016, mm-hmm. and population has increased, mm-hmm. and show an indicator to say that we still have shortfalls in staffing levels. However, there is a will by government to have more police officers recruited, mm-hmm. so that they beef up on the levels, human resource levels, that we have currently. But all in all, we can say that with the staffing levels that we are going to have at the time we are going to have elections, we are going to manage to police the election.
You talk about the fact that there is will from government to try and mitigate this shortfall by way of increasing the headcount. Looking at the time that is between now and, let's talk about the so-called heated campaign period, is that sufficient to train an officer that would discharge such duties?
Yes, if by March the officers are in training, mm-hmm. then if they are there for 5 months, mm-hmm. at training school, then they will be able to police. And usually those are used when it comes to operations, and during an operation there must be seasoned police officers who are there. Just like in many other areas, we use these the reservists, mm-hmm. and these are the officers we are talking about when we recruit. These are the officers who are undergoing full-time training, mm-hmm. in training schools. So if they can be in training schools for 5 months under supervision, mm-hmm. they'll be able to operate, and it will be helpful us.
The other issue, especially leading up to the actual election day. This time, this year around, we are looking on that Thursday, which will be the 12th of August, 2021. But more of the work of the police comes slightly before that, especially during the campaigns, because that's where we see issues of clashes between political players and back and forth. Looking at the infrastructure, now let's go to the infrastructure. Is there enough infrastructure? And by this, let's include things like the anti-riot equipment, the motor vehicles, and all this de-escalation equipment that police do employ in order to maintain public law and order.
Infrastructure, I can say that we have, or maybe government has commissioned a lot of infrastructure. That is, we've had government constructing housing units, mm-hmm. which has, elated the morale of our police officers and also police stations, police posts. Mm-hmm. We've also had some of the infrastructure which has been built by the communities themselves mm-hmm. through CDF. And then coming to our equipment, yes, I think you are aware that government did procure enough equipment mm-hmm. for police officers to use. Mm-hmm. And currently, our officers are being trained to use the same equipment. So when it comes to equipment and policing, I can say that we are set, because even if we may say that we need more equipment, mm-hmm. maybe which is may be used in different scenarios, different mm-hmm. areas, mm-hmm. but with what we have, we'll be able to police the election.
All right, with what is there now, talking about the procured pieces of equipment that, of course, as the media were able to cover at the time of commissioning and back and forth, there has been some talk, especially from a certain segments of the political divide, to say that these were procured in bad faith. What is the position of the service around those that are trying to overly politicize beefing up of policing equipment?
No, we'll continue giving information to members of the public, because what is cardinal is for community members, the common person, to have an understanding of what is happening. Because without that understanding, some people may just take advantage of the ignorance of some people and then blow things out of proportion. Then at the end of the day, you'd find that they end up misinforming members of the public. To some of the people who are complaining and thinking that the equipment was bought in bad faith, some genuinely don't know mm-hmm. that the equipment was bought in good faith, because mm-hmm. they are looking at the way maybe an armored motor vehicle looks like, mm-hmm. you know. Because when you see, they were talking about the armored motor vehicles, and then they are saying, no, why should we have such an equipment and the like, as if we are
at war.
And mm-hmm. So if at the time that we are going to, if at all, there would be war, something happens where you would need such equipment, mm-hmm. would you say the situation should hold until you go and procure such equipment? Mm-hmm. We've had situations where our officers have been injured when they go in these operations. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the armored motor vehicle, forget about those guns which are mounted on top there. Mm-hmm. It protects police officers themselves. Mm-hmm. We've been using open vans, open motor vehicles, where people are able to use catapults to, you know, hit police officers with stones and mm-hmm. the like, throw all sorts of missiles on police officers, and officers get injured. So we are also human beings, just like any other person mm-hmm. in the community. Mm-hmm. So what is it that government should do to protect the people that are there to ensure that law and order prevails? Mm-hmm. They bought the equipment, yeah. which officers should be using. And one such equipment are the so much talked about armored motor vehicles. The main purpose of the armored motor vehicle, that no stone can penetrate through that motor vehicle. So when you have police officers inside there, or maybe discharging tear smoke, and those you see mounted on top there, they are not just firearms to use to fire live bullets. You can fire bullet, rubber bullets. Mm-hmm. You can fire blanks there. You can also use that to the other equipment mounted there to discharge the tear smoke. Mm-hmm. So it is not that we are there now to start shooting people because we've acquired those motor vehicles. No, it is for the protection of police officers who are usually found or who work in volatile situations. So people should not believe mm-hmm. what these others are saying. We'll continue giving them information so that they understand what we go through.
And still staying on that very, very subject matter, what do you think, apart from, of course, you said that it's a byproduct of ignorance, what do you think could be the other motivation? Because as you rightly put it, even after August the 12th, we still have a Zambia that will still need policing services, and God forbid that, and we anticipate anything bad to happen, but we are better prepared than sorry. What do you think is the other motivation where these naysayers are trying to create this focus as if this was just bought for this particular season, and like when the elections are done and are announced, somehow the police will ship those things out of the country?
Those are equipment purchased for the Zambia police. Mm-hmm. They are not only meant for situations to do with elections. No. There are other situations which may come mm-hmm. where we may need to use the same equipment. And that equipment, if you may maybe look at the current situation, we've packed them. Uh-huh. Why? Because there is no situation that has called for the use of those motor vehicles.
Yes.
We only use them where there is need for us to use those motor vehicles. You will never see those Marudas or those armored motor vehicles patrolling when there is no any disturbance in any particular area.
Mm-hmm.
We use these normal police officers, like police vans, the Land Cruisers and the like. Mm-hmm. They're the ones with the Nissans. They're the ones we use when going to communities. But in a volatile situation,
mm-hmm.
because we are the people or the officers that quell such situations,
mm-hmm.
that's where we need those motor vehicles to protect police officers. Even after the election, they were not bought specifically for elections. They are there just like you, Chatewa. You are a journalist here and you've got a notebook and you move with a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So even us as police officers, we need to have equipment which can help us in doing our job.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not so special than any other person despite the training that I got.
Mm-hmm.
I may have the training, but I still remain a human being.
Mm-hmm.
When you stab me with a knife, I'm going to get wounded and blood is going to ooze out.
Yeah.
So how am I going to be protected as an officer who has been assigned to work in such volatile situations?
Mm-hmm.
And these are situations where when something happens, a lot of people run away
mm-hmm.
and go to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
But a police officer has to run to where there is trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that I'm going to be given as an officer
mm-hmm.
to protect myself from being injured, from being killed,
all
as
right.
I do my duties?
You are listening to Zambia Decides right here on Radio Christian Voice, where it's all about real life. And our topic of discussion today, we are looking at how ready is the Zambia Police Service to handle the 2021 general elections. And our guest today is the police spokesperson, Madam Esther Mwata Katongo, who is answering these questions.
This is Zambia Decides. Stay tuned.
Now, there's been this concern, Madam Katongo, that certain members of society are arming themselves with various assault weapons, be it machetes. Others have even displayed firearms in public. What is the position of the service over such characters in our communities that are keeping or intend to keep such dangerous weapons?
It is very common, Chatewa, that whenever we have such activities of which are political
mm-hmm.
in nature,
mm-hmm.
you'd find that people arm themselves with different weapons. We have been engaging political players or leaders to tell them to say or educate them that being found in possession of offensive weapons mm-hmm. is an offense mm-hmm. under the laws of Zambia. But you find that not everyone will get the information that you're giving them, just like it is an offense for someone to steal someone's property. Mm-hmm. But people know and they will continue doing that. So the same applies to these people in the political arena. You'd find that you tell them provisions of the law, they will tend to, you know, turn a blind ear to what you are saying and continue mobilizing themselves. And for them, mobilizing means that even equipping themselves with offensive weapons, including guns. And then why should even people question the police against the purchase of the armored motor vehicles? Because you've seen how the situation has changed now.
Yes.
Where people are moving with guns, people are moving with knives, spears, and the like. We've mm-hmm. confiscated spears before from these cadres. Mm-hmm. So now, our word to such people is that they need to know that whenever you are found with such offensive weapons, you are going to be arrested and prosecuted. Mm-hmm. There are matters that are before court mm-hmm. and we don't want to itemize or, you know.
It would be prejudicial. And,
yes.
And we also do not want to delve into active matters that are before our honorable courts. But the other element within the same, the issue of illegal drilling. This is a term that is used by law,
yes.
But in simple terms, basically, you have started training people in military style. What is the position of this?
Even that one is an offense. I think we've had cases which are before court. I haven't followed them, the same cases, to see how far we have gone. There are other matters which are before court. Mm-hmm. Then also, that was in Lusaka, Makeni. Some people were arrested there. Also,
in Shingola.
Yes, and also in Southern Province.
Yes.
Where those Chinese nationals were arrested. I wouldn't want to get into details because I don't know whether the matter was disposed of or not.
Active, yes.
But it is an offense for someone to begin drilling or training civilians, you know, giving them the insights of military training and then without any authority. If it is something to do with the security guards and the like, there are regulations which guide. But where someone just goes in an enclosure and then start drilling people in military training, mm-hmm. then that is an offense. Now, coming to the presence of offensive weapons in community and also the drilling, unlawful drilling mm-hmm. of civilians and giving them military training, mm-hmm. we depend on members of the public. Even in the instances where we have recorded arrests, it was as a result of information mm-hmm. which was coming from members of the public. So if you know anyone who has a firearm, tell us, give us that information. We'll have to check that person
if
they have got documentation. And also, if you see that there are people who are training and you are suspicious about such occurrences, this is our Zambia, our only Zambia, don't hesitate, just go to the nearest police station. As long as you are suspecting, because as we deal with suspicious mm-hmm. situations, so as long as you are suspecting, just inform the police. The police will go there to verify what it is, and they will not even mention your name, because we do keep such particulars of such people, our informers, in confidence.
Is it to say the old adage of corporate public law and order of saying, if you see something, please say something?
Yes. If you see something, because you are a Zambian.
Yes.
And if you don't report that, it may just grow into something else. And at the end of the day, you are going to be affected.
Yes.
So being a good citizen, even mandated by the Constitution itself, mm-hmm. you are supposed to also be part of policing process, mm-hmm. the part of ensuring that Zambia is at peace, security is there in our country. So give the relevant authorities information which you feel is going to protect your country, which is Zambia.
And just for the sake of our listeners, and I don't want to take this for granted that everybody knows, just tell our listeners, is it an offense? Let's say Chatewa is in possession of a firearm, legally so, I have a license for it. Does that give me the right to brandish my weapon anyhow, at will, wantonly, either to cause fear or to ascertain some certain kind of ground? Does that give me authority, Madam Katongo, to brandish my firearm in public?
The Firearms Act provisions do not allow that. You know, before you are given that firearm, you are taken through certain rules that you are supposed to follow as you, a person who is going to acquire that firearms. There are do's and don'ts in those regulations as demanded by the Firearms Act, Chapter 110. So those rules, when the officer, the one who is drilling you in, you know how to handle a firearm, the do's and don'ts, take you through that and you acquire the firearm, you are subject to abide by those rules and regulations. Then depending on your misconduct, if it is criminal, then the criminal provisions are going to be enforced. For example, you use your firearm, you brandish to cause fear, you threaten someone, we are going to arrest you for threatening violence and using that same weapon, and the weapon is going to be seized. If you are just fond of mishandling, there's also mishandling of a firearm, where your mishandling is not falling under any criminal offense, but it abrogates the rules and regulations of the Firearms Act, where you are not supposed to be showing, even the way you carry your firearm, the way you carry, you don't have to expose it like that, you are moving in public. No, you have to conceal your firearm. It shouldn't take anyone to see, to say, "Ababa maenda na mfut." Those are the do's when it comes to the regulations, which actually are drawn by the Minister of Home Affairs under the authority given to him under the Firearms Act. So you find that some of the act, the behaviors, like the ones which are in the regulations, may not be criminal in nature, but they guide on how someone is supposed to handle a firearm. You abrogate that, then your firearm may be seized.
And you may also be persecuted for abrogating, especially if it's criminal.
Under criminal, you are taken to court because there are provisions that will back you or back the law enforcement officers to take you to court. If it is not something that is criminal, you've abrogated the rules and regulations, then the firearm may be retrieved from you and seized from you until it is established to say that you have changed your behavior.
All right. You're listening to Zambia Decides. And in this particular edition, we are asking the question, how ready is the Zambia Police Service for the upcoming tripartite elections in August? And to help us answer that, we are joined in by the police spokesperson, that is Madam Esther Mwata Katongo, right here. In this particular era of social media, and especially when it comes to elections, the tendency or the temptation to abuse social media is really, really high. What is the position of the service on would-be or those that are using social media to commit any kind of offenses in relation to the elections?
Yes, it is true that some people tend to, you know, get to social media to publish false information, fake information, and also some information which may which are incitive in nature, if there is such English as incitive, that information which may incite people to rise and cause violence. So in such postings, as the police, we look at the elements of the criminal elements in a certain act or in a particular act. So if the act that you've committed on social media, is that amount to a criminal offense or to crime, then officers do investigate through social media, through these same phones, we've managed to arrest people and we've prosecuted people. No matter how you'd want to lie when you put your particulars there, you use, maybe you said you are Jonathan, you just put that you are KZ.
Yes.
You know,
instead of saying that I'm male, I put I'm female.
You put female. We have managed to find such people through our officers who are trained in that particular field, and more are being trained because we've seen that technology has advanced and most of the crimes are being committed on social media. So usually we use the existing laws in areas where we can take you to court and the elements are maybe qualified in the provisions of the acts, criminal acts, which we have, then we arrest you and take you to court.
Now, my final question, what about speculating with intention to cause fear?
You know, we believe that, we hope that the bill which is coming is going to handle that
element.
That element. Initially, it was a standalone provision where you publish something with a view to cause alarm. It was very clear, but it was quashed by the court saying that it was inconsistent with the constitution. So that's the reason why you'd find that some of the things which are being said on social media, we may not move in as police officers, because the only provision now which we are using is where there are seditious practices in the penal code. You find a lot of situations there, and most of the misconduct on social media, they fall under the seditious practices. You can pick out something that may suit the conduct, that like where you want to alarm people, you publish something to alarm people. There are provisions there, but the one which stood out well was the section, is it 178, which was quashed by the court.
Madam Katongo, I have to say a very big thank you to you for coming through on the Zambia Decides. We hope to call upon you even as we continue educating and informing our nation as we count down to August the 12th, 2021.
Thank you very much, Chatewa. Thank you very much to the Radio Christian Management, and thank you very much to the listener.
This is where we end this particular edition. We will be back again for yet another edition of Zambia Decides. My name is Chatewa. Ambia kudariseni and pleasant listening.
You have been listening to Zambia Decides on Radio Christian Voice.